back a few weeks ago, and it was like 37 below zero, and I had the flu during that time, as I'm sure many of us did. Living downtown, there's all these closures. You can hardly get anywhere. I felt like I was living in 1952 Stalingrad. You know, it's like this, just this harsh, bitter struggle for existence. And this winter reminds us that life is not always easy. But I think every night of the homeless, right? I mean, just to thank God for a warm bed and food to eat, certainly awakens us to the needs of those around us. And so we praise God even in bad weather. And once again, we're gathered here to celebrate the light and the glory of the resurrection of Christ, as the church does with a particular devotion every Sunday since the morning of the resurrection. When you think about it, 2,000 years in the light of eternity is just the blink of an eye. So it's just the day before yesterday that Jesus rose from the dead, that Mary Magdalene came running down the path to announce that the tomb is empty. And here we are, living in the light and the glory of that amazing Christ event. Today's first reading is also the first reading for Christmas. And it's this beautiful proclamation, prophecy of Isaiah saying that God is about to break into the world in a new and astonishing way. And that this brilliant light will appear that will dispel the darkness of our sin, of our despair, and of our death. And so light is one of the most fundamental symbols of God, and aptly so, because we can never directly see light itself. All we see is everything illuminated by the light. But our eye cannot apprehend pure light. We can only see the refraction of light in everything else. And so it is with God. We can't see God directly, but we can perceive and know everything illuminated by the reality and grace of God. And so light is a perfect symbol. Think of how many times light appears in the scriptures. The first thing that God creates is light at the beginning of everything. We think of every time an angel of the Lord appears in the Old Testament, the angel is wrapped in light. We think of the light that surrounded St. Paul when he had his astonishing vision of Jesus on the road to Damascus. We think of the light of the star that guided the three kings to the Christ child. So Christ is that new, radical, and astonishing light that Isaiah prophesied. And that light has filled us with hope, meaning, purpose, and the promise of salvation. When we open ourselves to that light, things become clear for us. We come to know who we are fundamentally, that we are beloved children of God, that we have been redeemed by Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, and anointed for a mission, as assuredly as Peter and Andrew, James and John were called and sent, so too we are called to be disciples of the Lord Jesus. To not be passive in our faith, but to see ourselves in this discipleship of communion with each other and in relationship with the Lord Jesus on a mission to proclaim his saving gospel to the world. Think of the difference that the sun makes. Difference between a brilliant sunny day and a cloudy day. It just makes us feel better when there's light. Think of the difference of being able to switch on a light and see where you're walking versus if there is no light and we stumble in the dark. When I did mission work in Dominican Republic, we always had, I think they're called brown outages, where there wasn't enough electricity for everybody at the same time. So without notice, you'd be in the middle of a meeting, middle of a mass, middle of anything, and power goes out for hours. And so think of the difference that light makes. Think of the difference that God makes when we pray versus when we don't pray, when we're mindful of God versus when we are so busy we forget about him, when we realize who we are versus when we stumble in the dark. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. It wasn't until I was blessed to do a pilgrimage to the Holy Land that I really got in my head straight the geography of Israel. And so Nazareth, Galilee, is way up in the north, and Jerusalem is in the south. And at the time of Jesus, Jerusalem obviously was the spiritual capital, and it's where the most devout Jewish people lived. People that lived in the north were kind of on the fringes of Judaism. There were still many people that practiced other religions besides Judaism. And so it seems intentional on the part of Jesus that he stayed in the north, in that land of Naphtali and Zebulun that rode by the sea, because perhaps those are the people that needed that light the most. So he stays away from the religiously professional people in the south and stays with the pagans, the Gentiles, the sinners in the north. And it's there that he preaches, it's there that he heals, it's there that he forgives. There's a great lesson in that for us, I think. Because it may be tempting just to stay comfortably with people that believe like we believe, practice the faith as we practice it, and are the sort of people that we agree with. That's comfortable. That's easy. But ultimately, it doesn't really do much, does it? But to purposely plant ourselves in a place where we are with people that think differently than we do, believe differently than we do, act morally different than we do, is that not perhaps the place where God wants us to be so that his light can shine through us? And there's a conscious choice there. Do we want to be comfortable or do we want to be transformative? Do we want to just hang with the people that make us feel good about ourselves, or do we really want to make a difference? Perhaps Jesus stayed in the north so that he could make that difference, and he calls us today to consciously put ourselves in places of discomfort and challenge, perhaps. I was so inspired this past week in the Milwaukee Journal. There was an article about Deacon Steve Schadpelsky. He's the permanent deacon at St. Gabriel's in Hubertus. He's been working for years on the streets of Milwaukee along with many other wonderful volunteers with the victims of human trafficking. And he's poised to start a halfway house to help them into a different life. And so I emailed him and said, love the article in the paper, love what you're doing, what can I do to help you? He emailed back with 7 different things that I can help him with, and he told me that his wife had told him he has no idea what he's getting into when he asks you if you can help. But it's examples like that, it's projects like that, it's ideas like that, that remind me of Jesus hanging out in the north, where the light needed to shine most brilliantly, where the faith needed to be made alive. No wonder then, whenever artists depict saints, they always have a halo around their head. Because when we let Jesus into our life, when we live our vocation, when we fall in love with God, there is a radiance, there is a light about us that shines forth and that makes a difference. Even on this cold, dark, snowy day, the light has emerged, and we are surprised and astonished once again that Jesus loves us, that our life has a purpose, and that he has called us to be his apostles. For all that, we give thanks and praise. We ask the Lord not to leave us in comfort, not to leave us in complacency, but to allow ourselves to be led to those places, those Naphtalis and Zebulins of our lives, where the light needs to shine, and where we can be that transformative agent. It's interesting, in John's Gospel, Jesus says, he is the light of the world. In Matthew's Gospel, he says, we are the light of the world. So what he says about himself, he applies to us as his body. What astonishment, what confidence, what love for us. That what the Son of God says about himself, he says about us and calls us into that great mission of salvation. That's what gets us up in the morning. Even on a cold, snowy Sunday, that's what gets us up to come to an 8 o'clock Mass. Because the light has shone on our hearts, and we know that the resurrection makes all the difference in the world. Thank you for shining the light. Thank you for all that you do to make Jesus alive and real for others in our city and in our world.